Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's show is brought to you by Personal Capital. For a free trial of Personal Capital, just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the Personal Capital banner. Or go to PersonalCapital.com/TMOS. Again, click the Personal Capital banner on MikeO'MaraShow.com or go to PersonalCapital.com/TMOS.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar.
Yes, sir.
How was your weekend?
Boring.
Really?
Yeah.
But we're here and it's exciting.
I'm happy to be back.
Because we have someone waiting. And here he is.
Hi.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, it's Larry King.
You must have gotten right on a plane because I saw you on the Today Show this morning.
How's that?
I said you must have gotten on a plane because I saw you on the Today Show this morning.
Sure.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by he used to be on CNN. He's not anymore. Now he's on the RT, which is the Russian network.
Risky.
Hi, folks. It's Larry King.
And also he's on Hulu and Aura TV.
Yeah.
Here's everybody's friend, Larry King.
Hi, Larry. Hey there, boy.
Yeah,
great,
boy.
Great to be on the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm here because I'm back. I couldn't stay away, and I'm happy to
but
be back.
But you retired.
What?
Ostensibly, you retired from CNN, right?
Sure. I didn't like it. I miss.
What? You what?
I miss being in the action.
Yeah.
I really miss being,
Whose decision was it to leave CNN?
Mine. Exclusively. I was tired.
Really? You were not asked to leave?
Let me tell you something, Rob.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk about me.
Mm,
I don't like to use the word I. I never learned anything by talking.
As you
and
just
I'm
said
not
I.
that. I, what?
You just said I. Yeah, I never learned anything.
You just said me.
Yeah, sure, but let me tell you something about myself.
Okay, let's talk about you.
Hey, I want to make sure you understand it's not about me.
Oh, understood. Is this helpful advice for the young up and coming interviewer?
Too many broadcasters, what they do is they talk about themselves and they make themselves part of the story.
For example,
I don't do that.
Willie Geist. All the time.
Smelled wonderful.
Really?
Smelled like a field of daisies.
Wow, I don't even know.
Yeah, he did.
Mr. King.
Yeah, hi, Oscar.
Let's talk about radio.
I just want to compliment you. You've done real well. And I know you've had obstacles thrown in your way.
Like what obstacles?
Yeah, the obstacles that people get.
Like what?
My skin tone?
Yeah, sure.
What?
Yeah, your people are doing well.
Oh, thank you.
His people?
That's very kind.
Just 20 years ago, they weren't in broadcast studios. 20 years ago, they were out in lettuce fields.
What about Freddie Prinze?
Huh?
Freddie Prinze? Yeah.
That was 20 years ago.
That was more than 20.
Strike that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about radio and TV.
Yeah, it's not what it used to be.
Two different mediums.
Yeah, not what it used to be.
If someone was going to go into either business.
Sure.
What business would you suggest they go into?
I'd say radio.
Hold it. You said I. You said you don't like to say I.
Don't believe it.
I don't believe?
You can't do what I do by making it about me.
But you're making it all about you.
You're doing an interview with me.
Yes, you.
I'm saying when I'm interviewing someone, I'm not going to make it about I and me.
All you talk about is I and me.
You're interviewing me, so it's about I and me interviewed.
Did you not say you don't use the word I?
Why are you being so difficult on me?
On you? There you go again.
Well, you're talking about me.
All
the
right.
Subject happens to be me. Right now, the subject... Hold on, I got cotton coming out of my mouth. The subject happens to be me right now. So if the subject is me, I can talk about I.
Okay, how about this?
Yeah.
How about Oscar, ask the question again. It's a great question.
Sure.
Thank you.
And you answer it without saying I or me.
I'll do that.
Okay,
Oscar. I'll rise. What I'll do is I'll rise to the occasion.
Excellent.
So let me just get this straight. Let me just write it down on a piece of paper.
Please.
Oscar's going to ask a question about
you're right.
me.
Are you still using paper and pen?
Yeah, no pen.
Don't you have like an iPad or anything?
I've got a pencil.
How about an iPad
This pencil
mini?
Was given to me by Abraham Lincoln.
You know what? I know why you use paper and pen.
Hold on.
Because
I just picked my head.
Oh, don't. No.
No, I got to pick my head.
No.
Oh, that feels so good, boy.
I saw you on the TV today.
Got to pick my head.
What's with the freckles?
They're not freckles. They're scabs.
You're splotchy, man.
I was at the Beverly Hills Diner.
Yeah?
I was having my boiled egg by myself in a corner reading the paper. I was in the corner. And I said to my waitress.
No, you're saying I again.
Because he hasn't asked the question yet.
Oh, so we're not doing the game yet.
So the waitress comes over.
Right. Is she
I say,
hot?
Waitress, what's this in my boiled egg? I'd already chopped it up.
Oh, Larry.
I'd already chopped it up. She said, Larry, that's one of your scabs.
You thought it was maybe a bacon bit?
Mr. King.
I thought it was a bacon bit.
Now, when you... I know why
I thought it was a piece of crust from somebody else's toast.
When you're using the paper and pen, gross. Is that because you don't use an iPad because it starts with I?
I don't like iPads. I don't like the whole crazy, goofy thing.
What about an
iPod? If I want a television, I'll go and sit and watch a television. If I want to bring a television with me, I'll bring the television with me. But I don't want to bring a television and have a television with me all the time. That's the way I roll.
That's how you roll?
Hi, it's Lay King.
Okay, Oscar, do you want to do the question again?
What's the game again?
The game is you have to answer.
I love good games.
Well, this will have to do.
You don't like the letter I, but you're working really respectively on the internet.
You can't do a show making it all about I and me. If you do, you're never going to get there. What I like to do is ask questions.
Are we playing the game yet? No, not with the scab.
No more bacon bits.
I got a scab. I got a scab.
He looks like a...
No, I got a bleeder.
Someone put Bacos on your head.
I got a bleeder. Where's my where's my styptic pencil?
Do you carry one with you?
For my head. For the top of my head.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Oscar's going to ask a question, and you're going to entertain the question without saying me or mine.
Sure.
Can't say I, me, or mine.
Yeah.
All right. No, with the scratching.
Oh, just I got them all over my face.
Would it be too much to ask for you to put your hands in your pockets?
No. Sean Southwick King, my beautiful bride,
she
tells me I ought to wear mittens.
Oh, like a baby.
Well, I don't clip my nails. It's too tedious.
Let me see them.
There they are.
Oh, my God.
When I clipped my nails the last time, the top of my finger just came clean off.
So it's a risk
factor.
Yeah,
so I was in Band-Aids for like 3 weeks.
They look like talons.
Yeah, they're my talons. I right now, hey, put me in a big top of a telephone pole next to a lake, and I'll jump down and catch a fish.
You look like an eagle.
All right, so what's the game again?
The game is this.
All right.
He will ask you a question, and you will answer the question without saying I, me, or mine.
Okay.
Okay.
Lego, shoot, Oscar.
Radio or television broadcasting careers? Which one is better?
Radio, TV, good. Radio, TV, questions, good. Ask questions, good, instead of not asking questions. Make sure interview subject know that I can't do this, S.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
We have your dog.
Hey, look, he's trained. Shake. Uh-huh. Speak.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes.
Bruh!
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you. My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel! My master is good and smart.
It's not possible.
Oh, it is, because my master is smart.
Cool. What do these do, boy?
Hey, would you go de acuerdo contigo? I use...
Russell, don't touch that. It could be radioactive or something.
I am a great tracker. My pack sent me on a special mission all by myself. Have you seen a bird? I want to find one, and I've been on this scent. I am a great tracker. Did I mention that? Hey, that is the bird. I have never seen one up close, but this is the bird. May I take your bird back to camp as my prisoner?
Yes, yes, take it. And on the way, learn how to bark like a real dog.
I can bark. And here's howling.
Can we keep him, please, please, please?
No.
But it's a talking dog!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Oh, the ink is black, the paper's white. Hello, it's together.
Anyway, interesting song choice for today's show, Rob.
Nothing by accident, Mike.
From Studio 1K in the Pfeifferplex Broadcast Center, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are downloaded worldwide over 18.5 million times.
So many.
And powered by Encore Insurance. We're at MikeO'MaraShow.com, 102.9 FM WTNT in Washington, D.C.
And the mighty 1630 KCJJ in Iowa today is the big day. It is Monday, July 15, 2013. No, I'm just kidding. It's not really the big day. Nothing's happened yet.
It's a big day.
We'll get to that in just a
second.
Mike,
it's a big day. Every day's a big day.
Our program today is brought to you by Signs by Tomorrow. If you are looking for an affordable and dramatic way to visually get your message to your customers, then look no further than Signs by Tomorrow of Manassas. Signs by Tomorrow offers a tremendous variety of signs and graphic services that will get your business noticed. Custom signs, digital printing, custom graphics, they do it all at Signs by Tomorrow of Manassas. Signs by Tomorrow has indoor and outdoor signs. They can wrap your vehicles, and that's not putting it in a sandwich wrap. That's actually
putting a sign on it. Mike, I hate to jump in and interrupt you.
Yes, go right ahead.
10 minutes. Now.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Signs by Tomorrow is great. They wrapped our studio. And if you're watching us on the Ustream, you can absolutely see our logos engulfing the studio. It's wonderful.
That's right. They can do your trade show display or your booth or your event signs. All your custom sign printing solutions are covered. Call Kevin. We know this guy. He's a good guy.
Nice guy. Was he the older guy or the younger guy?
He's the older guy.
Nice guy.
703-530-0070 or visit signsbytomorrow.com/Manassas. Experienced people, state-of-the-art technology, cost-effective. Signs by Tomorrow of Manassas, your visual message specialist.
Great.
We thank them for all their good work. Hello.
Weekend.
No baby!
And Mike, you know...
No baby!
You know what's on everybody's mind.
What?
Will this be the week of the royal birth? The
yes.
world excitedly awaiting.
That's what they want to know.
That's what I told Shannon this weekend when I was like, I don't care about that royal baby.
I couldn't believe Natalie Morales was outside of your house this morning.
You know, when they talk about your lady being in a delicate condition,
yes.
let me simply say, yes, she is. And she is in a delicate condition emotionally at this stage of the game.
Would you say fragile?
Not at all. Not fragile, but she is delicate and she is sensitive. And the fact is, when you get excited about the big thing for her, she's on maternity leave now. It's
right.
official. The big thing
about...
When
does yours start?
Mine, never. I'm never on leave, period. But the thing is, her big thing today, she gets up early, she scrubs herself all up, she gets her little bun in the oven t-shirt, and I felt for her today, because
yeah.
she, last week, begins the process, about Monday, about a week ago, finding out about getting the car seat installed, which you are supposed to do at either the fire department or the police department.
Yes. And you know what? Even 10 years ago, it became a major, major hassle, where car seats don't just slip in and clip in anymore. They have to be leveled, and there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of science at play.
You have to do it properly and legally.
A lot of times they use those pool noodles.
Oh, I don't know if the Fantanas.
What are pool noodles?
You know those like long...
I think I left a few of those when I was like 6 or 7 years old in the kiddie pool.
Carl Spackler.
They're made of foam.
There's my pool noodle.
No, but you know, they're usually brightly colored, like long sticks of almost like a styrofoam, and they'll cut them up and they can use them to level the seat.
Oh, I never knew you had to do that.
Oh, it's a hassle.
Hey, where's my pool noodle?
Of course, that's only for the first baby. The second baby you just put in the trunk.
Yeah, like that noodle never did anything for us.
You know what I saw yesterday? I'm driving through the streets of the Zit, and right in front of me on the
lovely
left-hand
day
side,
for a drive.
Looked like it was either a family coming home or going to a vacation. You had the two dads that appeared to be in the front seat.
Right.
Then in the back seat, you had an older lady, another older lady, and then an older teenager. And then you had two like little kids that were in the back of an old Crown Vic, not a Crown Vic, a Grand Marquis station
God, you
wagon.
Never see station wagons anymore.
And I had this amazing flashback as I looked in the back of this. I said, I remember we used to sit there. If you had a station wagon that was like that with those seats, it was ultra cool. And that was like the luxury station wagon. And they were sitting there. And I think they were on their way to the vacation because this little girl was sitting in the back seat and she was so
Was she waving
psyched.
To people?
It was just, she was so happy to be back there. Yeah, we're cool. Because you know they're getting stared at. Because it's a throwback to the 60s.
Do you know
very
where,
cool.
where my dad used to put me and my cousin Wes?
Where's
I'm
that?
Really surprised. I cheated death my entire childhood.
Right.
Do you remember in the back of the original Volkswagen Bugs, there was like a cubby hole?
Oh, like for the trunk was in the...
Well, the trunk was in the front. The engine
God.
Was in the back.
Okay, the engine was in the back.
But behind this back seat, there was like an indention where you could put like books, I guess. He used to put me and my cousin back there.
Like sitting on the floor?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So he would travel with you in a Volkswagen Bug?
Yeah.
Not on a long trip, I hope.
They all seemed long when you're in the cubbyhole. I don't know. It was probably just a Falls Church, but it seemed like a journey of a lifetime.
You could put an amp back there or Rob and his cousin.
Yeah, me and Wes. We don't care. You know, hold on tight to each other.
So this situation is, she gets excited about the fact that it's car seat day. And
this is a real tangible step.
Yeah.
Because you're preparing for the ride home from
right.
the hospital.
And she Aww. She calls last week, and suddenly she is informed by our local police department. Great job, fellas.
Manassas PD.
You are not says, pleased with them today.
She says that the fire department should do it. She calls the police department. They said, no, the fire department doesn't do it anymore.
What?
Now, that's right there, right when you start getting we don't do these
they
very
don't
simple
do
mundane. And so she says, okay, do they do it at the police department? Yes. She said, but you have to call so-and-so. They're huge on this at our local police department.
Yeah, I have the
farming you down six different levels.
Oh, I'm not saying a word about
people.
Your local police department.
So the thing is...
They pull me over too much.
And so...
Mayberry Police.
We call them, and she gets the person says, you have to talk to this person, because they're all about their departments. And then she gets the voicemail of that
of course.
Person, because that person's not there.
And I'm then, guessing there's escalating joy every time someone is able to send her off, because...
Right.
It's no longer their responsibility.
Exactly.
And that's so common in an industry. Well, I won't say common among police. I'll just say I've seen it before in organizations where people are more satisfied
right.
with being done with it than they are with actually helping
well,
you.
Well, the situation is she wants to finally make contact with a human being, and she finally makes contact with a human being. And I am in the room when she makes the call. I remember I was a witness to
uh-huh.
it. So the call goes something like this. Hi, my name's Carla O'Mara.
Officer Carseat.
I was told that I call this number to see about having my car seat installed by someone at the department. She said, on the other end, she said, you have to make an appointment. She said, okay, I'll make an appointment. When's the first appointment? How about Monday morning at 9 o'clock? She said, okay, Monday morning at 9 o'clock.
It's actually ideal.
And it's perfect. And she gets excited this morning because
yes.
she's going to go down there and she's like, okay, and she's got the car seat and she's all happy. I get a call like an hour later. She gets over to the police department after incidentally talking to the person who sets up an appointment. To get this done, the officer, this woman, comes out of the police department and says, oh, we don't install them. We just see if you've done it correctly.
Oh,
now, I was sitting in the room when she said,
you need an appointment for that?
No, why would you need an appointment for
yeah.
that?
They could see it from the window.
You can see a cop on the street, but the fact is, during the process of speaking to an individual
no
and setting up an appointment, when you said, I am setting up an appointment to have my... Why wouldn't anyone have said that? Well, because maybe they're just not doing their jobs the right way.
Yeah.
That's really the only conclusion
sucks.
I get to it. And they were also the same people that shared with Carla that the fire department doesn't do it anymore. And Carla found out that wasn't true when she called me from the fire department where she was getting ready to have it installed by the person who was going to do it for her at the fire department.
Nothing better in the world than
really,
a firefighter.
Really, man? What has happened?
Yeah.
Do your jobs. If this is a legal requirement and
right.
people are trying to follow the law and you're dicking them around, for God's sake. I mean, really, it's so indicative of the way we all are
yeah.
and where our priorities are. You know, here's a law-abiding person that goes in there, wants to do things the right way, and she gets completely dicked around in the ninth month of her pregnancy.
And because
that pisses
she's
me. I'm
trying,
getting pissed off
you
at
should
that.
Be pissed off.
I'm getting
all
pissed off at all that, the way pregnant women are treated. I swear
all
to God.
Really?
She's trying to do.
Yeah, yeah, big time.
What else?
Just, I mean, little things about doors and seating stuff like that. And, you know, if you see somebody who is out to here pregnant, I think you just be a little bit more mindful
sure.
of, you know, of what they're... Carla had said it herself. She said, I'm going to be so much more aware
yeah.
of women that are in that condition. And it just gets to be, you know, we roll along with our lives
mm-hmm.
and we don't think about anything. We don't really pay much attention to it.
So true.
And, you know, so hopefully she's on her way. She's getting that done. And I'm feeling a little bit attention to now.
Well, sure.
Oh, I feel it now.
It's
here in the studio.
It's true. I feel a little of that tension right now because it's frustrating to me. It really is.
Well, you know, all she's trying to do is do the right thing.
Right.
And all she did was follow the instructions of the police force.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's not quite good enough
right.
for her.
And she could have been a complete, she could have been disrespectful to the process and just stopped by a firehouse or
right.
stopped by the police station and say, hey, can you take care of this?
Mm-hmm.
And then odds are she would have been treated better than what just happened.
Yeah, but she went through every channel, called
right,
every phone number,
way.
Set up an appointment, and got that done. And it's just a,
did
so,
she mention
just
how
a
she
tiny
was,
little detail. It's
yeah.
not the end of the world.
Did she mention how she was treated at the firehouse?
She hasn't been back yet. I talked to her right before showtime. She was over there,
okay.
and somebody was going to take
They're
care of
showing her the fire truck.
Hey,
but here it is.
Hose.
The way it is, you know, I said, well, I haven't looked at the thing, and I haven't seen whether it's a cluster F to get the thing installed. You tell me
well,
it is
right now,
to get them done right.
For the first, I guess, it's 6 months when it's rear facing
mm-hmm.
it'll probably be in the center of your back seat, unless things have changed in 8 years. facing the back of the car.
Okay.
And because of that, they're going to have to use something to make it sit level.
Right.
Because it's sort of tilted.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's a cluster. And then there's all cars are different as far as whether or not you're going to use a seatbelt, or sometimes they have a harness sort of thing built into the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And it varies car to car. I was never able to do it right. Do you have a kind that is a one-piece seat or a base with a detachable
seat? Got a base with a detachable seat. That's the one we're going to use, because that's the one where you just press the button and take the kid out.
Be very careful.
Why?
That was responsible for a very bad incident with me and Ryan.
Oh, my God. Now you're going to freak me out. What is the deal?
I'm sure they've improved using
it. Oh, my.
I'm sure they've improved them.
What happened?
Well, the handle, you know, it tilts.
Yeah.
Right? So when you pick it up, you can put it out of the way. But then when you pick it up, you move it to an upright position.
Yeah.
Handle the baby.
Just
make sure. No. Just make sure the handle is clicked into position at the top of the steps.
Or the baby strapped in.
Well,
at the top of the steps.
I think I might have remembered this. Didn't the baby go flying out of your car seat?
No, it was in the seat, but it was in the home. But he went down all 12 steps, and he was pissed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because the handle wasn't...
Like, gish, gish, gish,
it wasn't clicked into spot.
Yeah, it was the handle's fault.
Robert! Oh, my God!
No, absolutely.
No.
Absolutely operator error.
The baby.
Absolutely my fault. But I do know this. You know how, and you'll learn this, and you probably remember this from
your
two girls.
I've been a father, so.
Yeah, you remember from the girls.
I am a father. What am I talking about?
There's a different cry for, like, hunger. There's a cry when they're hurt, and there's a cry when they're mad.
Right.
He started a mad cry at about step number six.
Mm-hmm.
He was wickedly pissed.
I don't know whether it's Joel or another listener, your buddy Joel that won the Apprentice contest.
Yeah, Joel Rogers.
I think Joel might have given me earplugs.
Really?
which I think, I might seriously sneak.
So, yeah.
Good night, honey. Just put them in there.
What if you have a quiet baby, though?
Well, you know, we've got the monitoring system that's all.
Yeah,
ready
but
to
you
go.
Could be blessed with just like a cool, quiet, calm baby.
Yeah, and by saying that, we probably just blown that. I think it's probably.
Well, I mean, look at the dad.
You're so superstitious. You're so superstitious.
Yeah, I am superstitious. And you
know Mike yesterday just about work, and he's like, "Hold on a second. The Red Sox are playing. Are you going to bring me good luck?"
Right.
And I was like, after your mother effed me, I just said, okay, goodbye.
And he didn't.
I'm sorry.
They lost. They're driving me nuts right now. Let's get to the issue of the day.
Yes.
We have to talk about it because everybody's talking about it. And I've got some feelings about it that might surprise some people. But, you know, there was a big disagreement in the O'Mara household. And I know that I'm going to probably go against a lot of our listening audience with this. But the fact is, the Zimmerman trial is over. He was found not guilty.
What?
As I expected, he would be found not guilty. And we watched quite a bit of this over the weekend.
Did you think, I can't remember our predictions on Friday, did you think it was going to be manslaughter but not murder?
I thought probably.
Or did you think it would be scot-free?
I don't remember the predictions about it. I don't
manslaughter.
Know whether.
Because I think we all went manslaughter, didn't we?
I thought it really was ultimately, you know, reasonable doubt. If you think that there is a reasonable doubt that, you know, this would be something premeditated, where I just think you've got two people out there, not any eyewitnesses to the situation, and reasonable doubt as to whether it was self-defense or not, reasonable doubt whether it was murder or not, reasonable doubt whether it was manslaughter. And there's tremendous doubt in this case. And I think it's unfortunate. Here's the tragedy of the situation. The tragedy is that a 17-year-old kid was killed.
Right.
I think it's horrible. It's an unspeakable tragedy. I think that, you know, it's so funny what we go into the streets, what we march into the streets about. We march into the streets when the media creates a situation where we're going to march into the streets.
They were predicting the demonstrations on Thursday.
They
said this is going to happen, and it's almost like the people of our country feel it necessary to live up to what the media said is going to happen.
And it seems to me that this situation, when you look at the law and you look at the way the law is structured, unfortunately, it's the laws that resulted in the not guilty verdict, not the situation where the jury getting it wrong or race or any of that. I
understand the frustration that people have.
Oh,
with
I sure can too.
And the way that but so many people said they saw it coming down the pike, but also they have to understand that reasonable doubt is what our justice system is built on.
And here's where people are going to get pissed at me.
Here we go.
Okay.
Because ultimately, when you've got the guy out there, what prevents this tragedy from happening?
Gun.
If the guy doesn't have a legal gun on his belt.
Right.
Period.
No.
Will you hear that?
I disagree.
Of course you do. And I'll tell you why. Because the fact is,
shoot him without a gun.
Guns.
I'm just
guns. The gun culture.
The guy shouldn't have gone out of his car.
The guy shouldn't have had a gun.
He shouldn't have gone out of his car. I can say the same thing to the point you're making now.
Why does the guy have a gun?
Because that's what he wants to do. If he
right.
wants to be on,
and if we want to do it, let's do it. He's not qualified to have a firearm.
He one, he can legally have it.
Exactly. Yes. And why don't we? But we're not in the streets about that. We're not. We're never in the streets. The gun. What happened when those kids in Newtown were killed? Nothing. No law. Congress completely caved on the law. We have people in this country that are still going bat s about guns. I'm simply saying this simple fact.
Yes.
One of the facts in there. Agree with you about the car thing. If he doesn't get out of the car, that doesn't happen.
True.
Another fact. If he doesn't have that gun on his arm, well,
I can agree with you. That is a fact.
Both of them are facts. It doesn't happen. I can't speak to what was in George Zimmerman's mind. I can't speak to what was in his heart. I can't speak to whether he was a cop wannabe.
Right.
I really don't know that. Some of the facts would indicate that might be true. Some of the facts might be indicative of the fact that maybe he's got a racial predisposition to this. Some of the facts say that maybe he was a profiler. But we don't know any of those things definitively. What do we know? We know that he was carrying a concealed firearm.
And when the police told him not to get out of the car, he did.
Right, exactly. And
true.
Once again, though, why is this so? Why are we so protective of firearms?
And
what
almost,
does it really do for us,
and
Oscar?
And the angle what is almost underreported.
What does it really, really do? What does it really do? How does it improve our lives? Really improve our lives for all these people to be running around packing guns? I'm asking you a question. I'm not trying to even argue. I'm just asking, what does it really do?
Well, for me, I'd like to know that...
You don't have one incident.
No. You know what? I think within the next year, I'm going to actively work to get one. Because I found out you can't get one in D.C. It's just a bitch to do.
Now, even with the knowledge that statistically, you are much more likely to hurt yourself or someone close to you
than you are
to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I agree.
You still want to do it?
Well, it's not because it's not something that's going to be fun for me.
Okay, but you still want to do it. But I want to
do it simply because... I there is a part of me that knows now that I feel comfortable around a firearm because I've gone to shooting ranges. I've been safe about it. I've handled different weapons.
That scares me even saying that. I mean, by saying that I feel comfortable, I would never feel comfortable around a firearm.
Oh, I never used to be until I was around it and I knew how to pick it up safely and actually load a magazine and make sure the safety was on.
I've shot at a range as well. Shot in a range, but I don't think I've ever felt or would ever feel comfortable around firearms. And
it didn't come easy.
Let me get back to the point.
Yeah.
We're heading into the streets today.
Yes.
You're hearing civil rights, the right of a young man to walk home to his house. Again, the great gun situation here, it's still a firearm where people are killed every day, and it gets back to guns.
It does.
People are going to be so pissed off at me that I'm bringing up guns again,
I'm not mad at you. That's a fact right there. I get that, right? Mm-hmm. But I also get that the guy, and look, I don't think anybody won here. I think the state did. It was the state's burden to prove otherwise,
right,
that this guy went out of his way to actually take Trayvon Martin down, and they didn't. And I don't think it was clear. It wasn't beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And as I sit there, the only thing I go back to is that this guy won when he's on with the police. They say, don't get out of your car. Stay in your car. He gets out of his car and pursues him.
Mm-hmm.
Once he pursues him, what happens afterwards clearly is still up in there, in my eyes.
And I think it always will be.
Yeah.
I don't think we're
going to
let. We'll continue this discussion when we come back because there is a lot of it. It just, I think where I want to go with this is what we tend to get ramped up about.
Right.
And how much of that is our real choice. We'll take a break when we come back. What was that?
I thought we'd have more time. It's Party Train by the Gap Band. A lot of times we have a 30-second ramp up.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I...
No, you're fine. We're fine.
You said you were going to cue me. I've got, right now, correct me, 28. Would that be,
perfect,
would that be right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I normally let you go to about 30.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by Personal Capital. I have told you about the amazing new application, Personal Capital. With just one click on one screen, you can see your net worth and assets, and more importantly, track how you're doing. Knowledge is power, and with Personal Capital, you will know what to do and what you have, and how it's doing, and how much it's costing you to manage it. Because the managers at Personal Capital, in many, many cases, charge so much less. less than the people you may be using. Mm-hmm. And they're good at it. They have all the knowledge and expertise. And don't pay your money managers way too much when they're not going to do anything for you.
Pay them.
Personal Capital.
You're paying
them
to lose money for you. Don't do that.
Go to personalcapital.com/TMOS for a free trial and start taking control of your money today. Know what you have and retire sooner. That's the whole enchilada.
Do it.
By clicking the banner ad at MikeO'MearaShow.com or going to personalcapital.com/TMOS. I really, really hate to feel the way I feel because I would love to be manipulated by the media in this country and think that certain things are a certain way. I think that you're talking about demonstrations in the street, and thank God most of them are not violent. I think a few batteries and rocks thrown at the police in Los Angeles.
Nothing like Rodney King, though.
Nothing like Rodney King, but we still, you know, how could you not expect people to take to the streets when the media coverage was telling them basically to take to the streets?
Yeah,
let me explain,
since last
folks,
week.
This is how the media tells you to go out and protest in the streets. We really hope that we don't have anybody getting violent and taking to the streets. That's telling people take to the streets.
Yeah, last Thursday night when they're saying, well, the people in Sanford are laying in wait and the policemen are preparing for anything that could happen.
And it's great theater and they get the cameras ready to go and they do that. But
chanting and everything.
Yeah, but by and large, you know, you see a congressional hearing with the families of those kids killed in Newtown. You know, here's what you hear on the news. Yeah, maybe one story, but boy, if there's some angry people that are shooting, I'm talking about after the fact. I'm talking about
everywhere.
And I'm talking about the fact when they go down and testify before Congress.
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
But Mike, who's to blame for that? Everybody listen at the media. Well, it's the people that vote.
As far as I'm saying, I'm not working in an editor's desk. I'm not doing that.
People right now, and this is my humble opinion.
We love to have black on white. We like simple things. But we like it real easy, and we don't like it. There's any nuance. I think that the people, the gun lobby, controls the narrative of that a little bit too.
Outside of the media, and we had this discussion at length after what happened in Newtown.
Right.
I said to you, I agree with you with the waiting period,
right,
the background checks. Mm-hmm.
Did any of that go through, by the way? Oh, that's right. No.
But I also said that nothing is going to change.
Yeah, and you didn't. You were absolutely right about that. And that sucks.
And it sucks. But the people that are to blame are the voters.
There's personal responsibility among the public just as much as there is among the media. I think that we do not educate ourselves as to... I just think we're played. I think we look at that magic box and we behave exactly how that magic box tells us to behave. Nobody, it seems to me, really thinks outside of the box. We think the way we are told that this is an injustice and that, you know, take to the streets. And in many cases, it is. I think it's a tragedy that that young man was killed. But I also think that without the proper amount of knowledge, I don't know what was in George Zimmerman's heart. I really, really don't know.
None of us do.
I know that he's a dip ass. I'd like to use a worse line. And I think that, you know, as far as the fact that he put the bullet in that kid's heart, when this could have probably just been a fist fight if he didn't have that weapon on him,
right?
That sucks. And I hope that he has to suffer for it for the rest of his life. I really do. But creating this entire race motivated thing that we have in this country and focusing it on George Zimmerman. No, God damn it. We need to focus them on. We have to have an intelligent discussion about race in this country that we never, ever. We don't do it. We only do it when it's this hyper competitive situation.
You left out an aspect.
Okay.
You said that we are, we're played. And I think that's true. But the aspect you didn't mention is.
And Oscar's right. We allow ourselves to be played.
That's it. We allow ourselves to be played.
Oh, nobody thinks out of the box.
Yeah, no.
It's not easy.
It's in your own choices of programming.
Yeah, but also,
the news channels you watch, what you decide to consume.
Right.
What you want to hear. I know people that are conservative and they're uber conservatives. They have new friends of mine.
Right.
And every time I go over their house, it's Fox News.
Right.
And that's all it is.
And Fox News tells they don't watch what's going to educate them. They watch what's going to reinforce
what they already believe.
Just like somebody who's a liberal will watch MSNBC.
And my father watches MSNBC.
Right.
And I sit there and I bust his chops about it too. Now, I'm on both sides of the aisle, and I'm conservative in some aspects, and I'm very liberal in others.
So am I.
But I will say that when people go to the streets and they are concerned of what is happening in this country and the laws that allow something like this to happen and a guy to walk away from someone's life being taken away,
right,
it's really That's why this system is the way it is. Now, he wasn't proven without a reasonable doubt that he actually went out of his way to murder this guy. He was premeditated.
Wasn't proven.
Yeah, wasn't proven. Right. So he gets to walk. That's he what happens.
And my simple point about this, and we disagree, and we will always disagree on it. You want to take one law that's going to prevent that from happening?
Right.
Don't allow him to carry a gun.
That's right.
Make it illegal. Make it illegal. You know what? And I believe that somebody said this over the weekend. I was watching some analysis of this. Said, if this guy doesn't have a gun, you know what? This is probably at its absolute worst going to be a pretty bad fist fight where one guy gets a little roughed up.
Not according to the prosecution.
Well, that's what
the defense.
I mean, the fact is, no, because I think the prosecution.
The defense said that the concrete was a weapon.
Yeah, but the defense and what the defense had to prove was that he felt in danger of his life. Yeah. He felt that way.
Right.
We're talking about the facts. You know, when you look at the injuries, I look at the injuries and I say, yeah, he got his head smacked on the concrete. But I think that ultimately, if there hadn't been a gun involved, I think he...
You've probably been in worse fights on your own time.
I think probably
this
that
week.
Could happen. So it gets back. So I get back.
Down at the tavern?
Right.
I get back.
He's on edge. So,
I get back to the gun thing. I get back to the gun thing. If he doesn't have the weapon, this doesn't happen.
I agree.
You know, Oscar's right. If he doesn't get out of the car, this doesn't happen.
Well, if
you're right, too.
You know
we're
what?
Both right.
Yeah. It's how far back you go, Oscar. If George Zimmerman's parents never met, it wouldn't have happened. How many steps back do you want to go?
When a police officer or someone on the phone with authority tells me not to do something, I don't do it.
That's true. I mean, you can't argue that.
And, you know, it's a tragedy. It just seems that everything we do, it always seems to be a competition.
Yep.
And the only thing that makes me feel fairly decent about this, these people out in the street. It does seem to be not an exclusively black on white situation.
I agree.
It does seem that you have a good number of white people that are out in the street protesting this. And if they're protesting the law, that's fine. What I refuse to do is jump on the bandwagon of making a certain individual into a complete and utter racist monster when I have no real evidence to prove that he was that other than what a lot of people have hyped this issue up to be. I think he could be. I think he could be a profiler. I think when he makes the comments, they always get away with it. I think he could be talking about African Americans. He very well might be
a hero.
I think he was a cop wannabe.
That's what
I think. Never, ever know. And the whole situation just...
I'm
sucks.
Glad it's over.
When you talk about that, it is it's not cut and dry. It's not black and white, and it's very, very competitive.
Right.
Everything in this situation, and you know, you go back in any news story when it becomes a competition.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's just a sidelight of becoming overly simple.
Right.
There's not always a winner, and there's not always a loser.
And
it's not a football game.
And I'm getting back to the fact that you know, I'm going to get people to say I am a responsible gun owner. I'm fine with you.
Yeah. Bless your heart.
I'm so happy that you are. I'm so happy that you've taken training, that you teach your 8-year-old. How to shoot a weapon the proper way, and you do that, and you do it from the very beginning, and terrific, okay? At the same time, there are laws. There are never any new laws that prevent something like this from happening. I don't think a responsible gun owner ought to be able to walk around with a gun in his belt. I don't think so. I think you are predisposed to have the John Wayne mentality if you are out there and doing that. And
I
you
completely
should see,
disagree.
I'll tell you, I got an eyewitness account of this, okay? I'm at the police station getting ready for my ride along.
Right.
They were having some sort of gun training course at the police station.
Okay.
I'm watching these guys roll in, okay? I'm watching these guys walk into this training session. And I am seeing an awful lot of people that, let me just say, there were two or three of them that were walking into this this informative class, and I'm not sure what they were training on.
Maybe they were trying to get their concealed carry.
It concerned me a little bit.
Yeah.
It worried me just a little bit. And, you know, what happened after Newtown was nothing.
Right.
Nothing happened. Nobody in Congress did anything for background checks or anything like that. And there were plenty of members of the NRA and responsible gun people that wanted us to see some legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get some sort of legislation, I got news for you, folks. This is not going to be the only incident where a firearm is responsible for somebody dying. And you say, well, it's not the firearm, it's the person. Yes, that's right. It's the person, too.
I'll tell you this, that there's probably a guy out there that's kind of like George Zimmerman. Maybe wanted to be kind of some sort of law enforcement. Maybe is retired. Anybody that's in Florida right now that has any inkling of what happened in this case with the Stand Your Ground law would probably sit back and say, well, I don't want to put myself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not going to follow the guy. Right. Maybe I'm not going to walk into a place where I shouldn't be without any witnesses.
We can hope there's a positive pulled from this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't.
And you're going to get people on the other side of the issue too that are going to carry weapons as well.
You never mentioned your thoughts. What are you? How do you personally feel about the Stand Your Ground law?
Stand Your Ground law is licensed to commit murder.
I agree.
I think it really is.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous.
When you're dealing with a fact-based prosecution,
I feel threatened.
You can't do feelings.
I feel threatened, so I can shoot you.
Yeah,
it's a little scary to me.
I have to agree with.
They need to eyeball that thing once over.
If it is the law, I mean, that's part of it, but it seems like a stupid
Trayvon Martin-related tweet from New York Giants wide receiver Victor Cruz. Let me see. After George Zimmer was found guilty, Cruz tweeted, thoroughly confused. Zimmerman doesn't last a year before the hood catches up to him. And he later apologized for that tweet. And Roddy White also quoted, all them jurors should go home tonight and kill themselves for letting a grown man get away with killing a kid. Lots of high emotions. We'll come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page, Summertime Gift Headquarters, everybody. Where
fun time.
The toys of summer. I don't think you can buy a gun on Amazon.
No, but you know what you can buy? Buy yourself a pool noodle.
Right.
Get a pool noodle on Amazon.
Pool noodle. Oh, those are those styrofoam things.
They're fun for summer fun.
You will find the toys of summer in Amazon's great outdoor sales event today and every day. Save money and support the show. Click Amazon at MikeO'MaraShow.com and bookmark it.
Yeah.
Dano.
Bring it. Take it to the big man.
So I read those tweets from Victor Cruz, and I got a theory on that as well. Thoroughly confused. Zimmerman doesn't last a year before the hood catches up to him. He quickly deleted that tweet and replaced it with an apology. He said, quote, I believe conversation, not confrontation, leads to change and progress. I never have and never will advocate violence under any circumstance. I apologize. As a father, I want my daughter to grow up in a country that uses this tragedy to heal and grow and progress. I agree with Victor Cruz's apology, and I hope he's from the heart when he says that.
High emotions.
Because I think when this type of event happens, we don't really think of these people as human beings as much as we think of it as a competition. This goes back to the OJ trial. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way about it. It's totally different circumstances.
They become characters.
But they become, and it's my team and your team. And when we're waiting for the verdict, and then Rob, I think you said when they had the press conference afterwards, it was like a post-football game press conference.
Yeah.
And it really, it's a competition because we're a hyper-competitive society.
Right.
There's so many laws, I think, that should be addressed as far as, a kid walking back home who felt that somebody was following him. And there's so many, gun laws. We just don't seem to want to change. We just are going to let this stuff happen, and it's going to happen again, and we're going to argue.
Change is tough.
And if there's a villain and somebody that we can point at, it's not me, but it's you, then it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, and nothing's going to change, and I don't know. I'm still going to start talking about it. I still think we have to talk about it because I feel so bad when we were riding our motorcycles through Newtown, Connecticut, very close to, about 45 minutes away from where I grew up, and I thought about the fact, nothing happened. Nothing happened as far as mental health. Nothing happened as far as background checks. Nothing happened as far as guns. And that didn't happen because the people that we elect are so terrified of losing their jobs, and that's really why nothing happens. I mean, it doesn't even get there can't even be a discussion about it of any significance because the gun lobby is so powerful. And I'm not talking about taking away guns. I'm talking about the fact that the gun lobby doesn't want anything to go through because if they see that go through, they are worried that, like so many people say, you can never take my guns. And I don't think any reasonable person thinks that laws, if they make a few background check laws,
agree with that.
That people are going to have their guns taken.
I think that the gun lobby sees any sort of allowance made as almost an admission of guilt.
But again, gentlemen, we talked about this when this happened, that, and you called it, Mike, when Newtown was on the, I'm talking about 2 weeks after, when the president finally stood up and said something.
Right,
right.
You said, this is going to be a tough battle because the gun lobby is so powerful.
And brilliantly positioned strategically.
Yes.
Where they lay low and they wait. And listen, I have to say this.
You admire that. Why can't we do that on all sides?
100%, I believe.
Pro and against.
This is not the only issue.
Right.
Yeah. The only issue is not firearms. Absolutely not, because even the way we deal with each other racially in this country, and I don't feel like we've made any real progress. We're afraid to talk about it in a rational way, but we're real quick to take sides. Mm-hmm. We love to do that. That might be getting better.
And the system, just like we said, that there's certainly something wrong with the Stand Your Ground law, but the system, right. And this is not just for the gun laws.
And Florida's kind of a wide open state as far as gun laws.
Yeah. There are a lot of lobby groups for a lot of different industries that have this type of power that don't get this much press.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all over the place.
So the system in itself
is broken.
Is broken.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you could talk all day long. And I hate to get heavy, but it's on everybody's mind.
Got to.
And when I watch this coverage and I see it all, and really ultimately a horrible situation. Yeah. And would you agree about 20 different ways you could prevent it from happening?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If in general, you could go as far as just the way our whole society is constructed. And we could make, if we make real significant progress, where there, it just sucks. It's so sad. It's such a tragedy.
And I also don't know how I'd react as a teenager. And I'm not saying Trayvon Martin was in the wrong or right. Look, again, we'll never really know what happened that night.
No, we never will.
But if I was a teenager and somebody stopped me as I'm like walking through my neighborhood and said, it's freeze, neighborhood watch.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of laughed, to be honest with you, at first. Because I'd say, we're in Olney, Maryland. My parents live right there. Yeah. I'm going home.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if, it was that futuristic society where we could actually know what the exchange was?
Yes.
What
you
was
could go back.
Said?
Yeah. We never like will. A minority report.
Let's even assume that, when they showed that animation of Trayvon Martin standing in front of Zimmerman and he hits him in the head.
Yeah.
Let's just assume what was said at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know if I'm getting followed and I'm in my neighborhood and I'm 17.
And you can see your house.
Yeah. I'm older. And you know what? Let's speak to this a little bit. Don't you feel more empowered if you're close to your house?
Yes, of course. It's like,
hey, what are you doing? Hey, who are you?
I live here.
I live right here.
Yeah.
And that might have, it's just, it's ridiculous.
There's
it's
too many factors. And we are really, honestly, we're too far removed from it to even conjecture.
Yeah.
There are people there that were actually at the trial that don't know. Mm-hmm. How are we going to know?
Well, enough of that. I think we covered it, and it's sad, and it's a tragedy, and I'd love to see a million different laws change, not just guns, not just civil rights laws, not just the way people think about each other in this country, which contributed to that, I'm sure, on some level. I'd just like to see everything. I'd like to see everything get fixed, and it's sad. And sometimes we're a sad country.
I think you're
probably more peaceful.
I think you're more sensitive to it because you're bringing one in.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably not a thought you would have had 2 years
we
ago.
We love violence. We love games that have guns in them. I do. I'm part of it. I've grown up watching. I love Goodfellas. I love The Godfather.
Yeah.
I love violence. I'm a pure American. I've grown up on violence. I love it. I've been in fistfights before.
Good news for your son.
We're a violent people. We are. We're a violent people.
I know we are.
We are. And that's the way. Maybe we all got to calm down a little. Mm. I don't know. There's so many possible discussions we could have about this. It could go
sure
on for
enough.
10 hours, but we're here to not only entertain you, but apologize
Let's
to
you. Let's start the show.
I would like to apologize to my compatriots here. And and incidentally, by the way, all the people that are going to do the gun thing to me, please stop. I don't want to hear it.
You know what?
I understand that you are law abiding, and I understand that you are you have your guns, and I understand you love your guns.
Right.
And cowboy, boom boom. That's fine.
There are so many lovely people within the sounds of our voices right now. Please let Mike have the week.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of things.
Got
on
a baby because, coming.
As you know,
this be the week of the royal birth. The world excitedly awaiting.
I know you know how to shoot, and I know you were taught by your dad, or you're going to teach your kid. I know. You're fine. You're fine with that. And also, hey, here's something. I'll throw the bone to all our gun lover-loving people.
Don't count
out. Hey, who knows? Maybe someday I'll buy one, too.
Really?
I'm 2 break-ins away from buying the gun.
Me too, Mike.
Right. Thank you.
Let's go gun shopping together.
I would like to apologize to Oscar and to Rob.
Why?
What's that?
I have stolen from both of you.
Oh, again, what's going on?
I have stolen from
you. Mean, I know you are referring, of course, to our hearts. You've stolen my heart. What?
Friday evening, 5-6 o'clock, a package arrived, and I'm keeping it.
Ooh.
It was a gift? It was a gift for all of us.
Okay.
Hi, Mike and crew. I hope this wine finds you well.
Oh, this is the beginning. You know what?
I remember this. I got an email about this.
I've heard things after this package arrived. Everything's coming together. This is almost like Pulp Fiction, Oscar.
Yeah, I got a heads up on this package, and in my mind I said, Mike's not going to steal this from us. Mike's just going to enjoy it and tell us all about it. In my head, before this happened, before I knew this happened, I said, there's no way we get this.
This is a story being you told out of sequence.
This is complete premeditated theft.
Yeah. It's this not is, theft. It's not theft.
You are guilty of wine slaughter.
I saw it. I was taking it out. It was Friday night, and I was removing it. I said, I'm not giving this to either one of them. I made a point. I said it before the first bottle was even opened, before I even knew that it was great wine.
Multiple bottles?
Oh, a case.
You killed 12 a case?
12 bottles. I didn't kill a case of wine.
No,
it's
he's
still
in the
here.
Process of oh, killing okay. it.
Hey, Pony, it's out in the den. Go grab a yeah. bottle. Bring
how,
it out of the
how
bottles.
Many, you can so hold we can look at it. How many yes. bottles did you premeditate?
Well, let me write that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to know.
Let me write that down for you.
Because what?
I still don't think it's stealing.
This is Friday night.
I think you're going to pay it for it.
Can I read the letter before I give you that?
Please do. Sure, sure, please sure. do.
Dear Mike and crew, I hope this wine finds you well. I am very late to the world of podcasting, but after rediscovering your show about 2 months ago, I have already devoured every iTunes archive podcast and all 137 bonus shows.
Good for you, man.
Thank Downloading you. Your show is the first thing I do every morning. Well, maybe the second thing.
Yeah. And sometimes third.
I like that. I have been a listener to every version of your show via the Sacramento affiliate for what must be close to 20 years now.
That's about right.
I can't even imagine how many hours I've spent listening to you while working in the winery and vineyard over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is California. I just watched Sideways a couple of weeks ago. I'm so excited. I'm getting more excited when I see the box.
Do you think this guy looks like Paul Giamatti?
I've seen. There's a picture of him.
Oh, okay, good.
That's on his little brochure.
Oh, okay.
You have added much enjoyment to my days, and I'm so thrilled to have found you again. Great to hear about the updates in your lives and have enjoyed meeting Oscar as well. Keep up the great work. And this comes from... Ooh. Elliot Graham, winemaker from the Busby Cellars Vineyard and Winery in Somerset, California.
How nice you, that friend. Matt Bloom has brought in a partial bottle of wine. Not a lot.
This would be what is left from three bottles.
Wow.
What is yes, it? Sir.
Was it a variety pack or was it all one variety?
Variety pack.
And so what is that? Is that a cab?
This is called, let me see.
Nice packaging.
I think it's called Thank you. Barbera. Or it's Fairplay. I'm not sure. Is Johnny it, Fairplay.
Is it named after John Dalton?
There's several varietals that are in there, and they are absolutely ducky.
Can I smell it? I promise excellent. Not to drink it.
The 2010 Barbera, which is just off the hook. Excellent acidity and soft, silky tannins make this a great wine for the dinner table.
Do you remember when you were Silky Tannins on the jazz station?
Silky Tannins. Get in there. Is there a love song you'd like to hear?
He was like Glenn Hollis before Glenn Hollis was Glenn Hollis.
We start pouring this wine in a glass.
I'm Silky Tannins, and we'll be here till midnight.
That's right.
Do you have a loved one that broke it off with you? Silky Tannins can make you. Anyway, bright cherry fruit characteristics with smoky notes and vanilla flavors.
I was smoky notes. I had the shift after
I'm going to do you a solid.
Yeah,
I'm going to do you a solid, Mr.
What?
Michael Merrick.
What's that?
You are a truly, truly charitable man. You're a kind guy.
Mm-hmm.
You do not steal from us.
Yes.
Mm. That is a solid. That was a mistake on your part. We need another case.
Yes, another case.
I think you're right.
And this case will
it's so good.
This case will be given to myself and Rob Spiewak.
Very
not
good.
At all.
Yes.
But just in case it does.
That's right. Because you know
try.
Why, Oscar? Because you and I feel slighted.
Do either one of you, in all your travels, do either one of you enjoy a glass of red wine once in a while?
Of course.
You
yes,
do.
Why
oh,
not?
So you both would like
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it's
please.
It's so good. All right, so anyway.
It's so good. Wow, thanks, Mike.
It's just so good.
Send
I'm serious.
Send another case.
Boy,
please.
I want to tell you guys, Oscar, if you like wine, you would have loved it before I drank
oh,
it.
Oh, thank you.
Friday night, I'm ready to have some wine.
There, another some piece of puzzle is going to
Friday
fall
night.
Out.
So yeah. It was
is
so
it just Fridays
fantastic.
Now?
It was, well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's once a week. And Friday night was my night. And
what'd
this
you do
stuff
Saturday?
Was so good. Really just did a honey-do list from Carla.
Aww.
And did all, changed light bulbs, put some stuff up in the baby's room.
Saw your light, I
took
saw
out all the trash that we have from all the boxes that come in all week with her
saw your light bulb stick out.
Yeah.
Because you got the high ceilings.
I
got
to take that big stick with the suction cup on it, and I got to go up there. That is the worst. I had a Napoleon moment.
Because
I'm
do?
Sitting there, and I'm you have to unscrew the bulb.
Right.
And the highest one in the kitchen that I'm reaching up with my stick,
yeah.
And I sit there, and I hear this.
Oh, no.
All of a sudden, it's the whole socket is hanging out.
Yeah.
And I give my Napoleon.
Oh,
but
no.
It sucked. But I want
to
say,
were you able to put the socket back?
No.
Oh.
I can't get up there.
You're going to have to call a handyman.
I know. Yeah. I know. I got to go. And then I want to call a handyman for that and the window that Josh broke and didn't tell anybody about.
Yeah, I was going to tell you about that. I just noticed it. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah. It's one day, like months later. Hey, look, the whole window's shattered.
Yeah, that's because you know what happened? People don't know what Josh does during the show. If he's not sitting in, he's actually in your dining room playing with a BB gun.
Yeah, exactly. So
throwing rocks.
What I did was I broke the window, and I didn't tell you that I broke the window, and so the window's broken.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing in here?
You broke the
poor
window.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's not a poor guy. Right. He's just challenged.
May I make this statement? And, yeah. And I want to get. This is not serious like George Zimmerman serious.
We want a second case.
This is what's that
of wine?
Yes.
A second case. Okay. So
and also Oscar and I forgive you.
Yeah. We
thank
forgive you.
Yeah. Because Elliot, as I said, Mike gets the week off.
Yeah. A celebratory case.
Elliot Graham from the Busby Sellers Vineyard and Winery, the greatest winery in California. Send a case to Rob and Oscar.
Yeah. Please, please, please.
It's so good.
Just one case.
Care of Oscar the DJ.
There's like not a bad bottle in the whole case. It was so good.
Yeah, but you'll keep hunting for that bad bottle.
Yeah,
all
sure
week
will.
Long.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe tonight. Not sure. I want to make a statement here.
Good.
And I'm very, very serious about it when I make this statement. I actually had tears in my eyes on Friday night, and someone in this room is going to be very, very surprised about it. Rob Spiewak,
empty bottle of wine,
was so excited on Friday for the Paul McCartney concert.
Yeah,
and Oscar and I actually talk about you a lot. As far as Oscar says, it probably more than I do about how good a father you are.
Oh yeah,
and I'm just going to say this:
I hate it.
There were a few posts of you and your son, and my dear friend Tony Perkins and his mom, and you all went out to the concert together. I was thinking about you Friday night, probably after my third bottle of wine began. And I
but
was
the
thinking,
beginning of the third bottle.
Rob, I
you
literally
so hard.
My thoughts, and I don't want to sound like a you know like I want to sleep with you or anything. But
do you?
My thoughts were with you as I drifted off to sleep with my wine buzz on Friday night, and I was thinking this, and this is exactly what I wanted to say. Didn't want to call you. I didn't want to post it on Facebook. I wanted to come in here and say this on the show.
You stop this. You're making me cry.
My memories of my relationship with my father are centered around significantly events that we participated in together. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's what I hold on to. That's what I remember about my dad. And I was saying to myself, there was a picture of Robert that you posted on Facebook where he had a smile on his face, which was the most genuine, magnificent smile. I remember what you went through with your son and how you suffered so unbelievably when he had pediatric leukemia.
Yeah.
And that we are here now where you can take him to this event, and I don't even know if you're aware of the fact of what this is going to do for you when you're blowing spit bubbles someday, when you're in a wheelchair.
You're
going
to have to stop because I'm going to cry again, because I spent most of the concert, I counted five times at the concert I cried. The first time I cried was, and I'll collect myself, you sprung this on me, I didn't know you were going to do
the
this.
The beer price?
It's from the heart, Rob, it's from the heart.
When the third song, and I have something in the audio vault for people that weren't at the concert, but I think the third song he did was the Beatles song, All My Lovin'.
Right.
And it was the one song I wanted to hear because it was the first song that Robert ever learned all the words to when he was a baby. And when Paul launched into it, and I looked and I saw my son screaming his head off at the concert, and I realized this is really what it's all about.
Right.
You're able to provide something for your progeny, your next generation, that they wouldn't be able to provide for themselves. And we got almost 3 hours of just pure, unadulterated joy.
I'm surrounded by,
he
you know,
was just, he had such a good time. And I felt on top of the world. I posted something on Facebook that I almost didn't do. Mm-hmm. And then I almost put something like, Mike's going to give me S for this. Mm-hmm. But I posted anyway because I felt it so much. It was 3 a.m. on Saturday. I'd come home from the concert and I couldn't go to bed. And I posted
on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, three o'clock
going
Saturday
into
morning.
The next day, I wrote, I don't want to go to bed because that means tonight is over.
Yeah,
it was the best night of my life.
He, you know, whether you know it or not, and you may know this, you may not, my memories, I still remember the events that I shared with my dad. I remember the fact that my dad brought me the Boston Red Sox. It's what the father-son thing is kind of like. My dad brought me Buddy Rich, came home from the office one day and threw out this album and said, you might like this. And we ended up staying up till 11 o'clock, which was really like 3 in the morning
Should've been three, yeah.
And, you know, those are the memories that I have. And I was saying, oh, my God, Robert III, he doesn't even know it yet. He's going to remember these things, these trips to the wrestling, these trips to King's Dominion, these trips. And you know what? You're not a pushover dad by any stretch of the imagination because people think that it's all, you know, this little. It's not because I've seen you. We've seen him be a disciplinarian because he does. He doesn't take crap from his kids.
No, they're good
he
kids.
Doesn't. They're good, they're kids. Good kids. And at the same time, though, this is just, you know, one of the things I love about working with you guys is the way you pay attention to your family members. That is, if we have one thread that is that we have in common, the three of us that are here now doing this show, it is the fact that, you know, you pay a lot of attention to your mom and dad. Yeah. You make lots of jokes about it, but you are constantly there. As a matter of fact, in your family, I know this for a fact, because of your proximity, but also because of the way you care about them. Oscar, you're the one that is always taking care of your mom and dad, especially your mom, and you're doing it all the time. Robert's the same way with his family and doing this and being around his family. And it is really, at the end of the day, this little radio show is fine, but that's what really matters.
You're right.
It's one of the greatest sources of frustration for me that I don't have it because I'm not up
there. Because of the proximity.
And the proximity has always killed me.
You call her every day.
I call her
once
a month.
You're there all the time.
All right, you called her last week.
I call her once in a while.
But
periodically.
Yeah. Your words could not be any warmer. Thank you, Mike.
It was
genuinely appreciated.
And tomorrow I want to get a full update on every detail of that concert.
I've got a little something in the audio vault to set the table, but I will tell you some funny things about Mr. Tony Perkins. Not exactly the way he is on TV.
No, I've known that for longer than you. Anyway, we'll take a break, come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
With shoes that cut and eyes that burn like cigarettes.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment of the program is brought to you by Weight Not. Healthy weight loss just got more affordable. Now there is a range of Weight Not programs that will fit most any budget. Weight Not plans start as low as $5 a day. That is about the cost of a gym membership, and you can accelerate your weight loss based on the pace you like and your budget. With Weight Not, you'll eat the real natural foods you can find in any grocery store. No packaged meals, no meal replacements, no prescriptions, no stimulants, nothing artificial. It is the safe way to lose weight and keep it off. Weight Not has helped thousands. Do me a favor, go to Facebook. They have a Facebook page and you can find out all about the success stories and, more importantly, the way people on Weight Not can tailor their program to what they like and how they live.
Mike, that's why it works for everybody.
Right.
Because there is something for everybody.
Yes,
you try it, you will lose weight, and please send us your success stories. I know you guys are out there. We'd love to share your success.
To find out more, visit WeightNot.com. Weight Not, show us what you are made of, everybody.
From around the globe, across the nation, and looking through your neighbor's window, the Mike O'Mara Show now presents News You May Not Need. A comprehensive look at the stories you may or may not be talking about during your daily activity. And now, news you may not need.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. I talked about it before. We'll give it to you again.
Right.
Calls for the Justice Department to look into the shooting death of Trayvon Martin reverberated as soon as Zimmerman was acquitted of state charges in a Florida courtroom, but it may be even tougher to mount a federal case against him. The department says it's reviewing evidence to determine whether criminal civil rights charges are warranted. Do you see that happening?
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
I think this is going to, you know, it's frustrating for everybody that disagreed with the verdict, but I think it's going to fade away.
But
eventually.
Also, anyone who says this guy got off scot free, he's going to have a pretty rough go of it, I think.
Absolutely.
He's going to have, the rest of his life is going to be definitely changed.
Medical examiners will conduct an autopsy Monday on Glee actor Corey Monteith. Staffers at the Fairmont Pacific Rim Hotel in Vancouver, Canada, discovered the 31-year-old actor's body in his hotel room Saturday after he missed his checkout time. Police said while the cause of death was not immediately apparent, police have ruled out the possibility of foul play.
This is him singing.
It's bigger.
And you know what? Say what you will about the show. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah, you old queen.
I don't watch it.
Oh, you don't?
But he's a good singer.
He was.
You think he just, all the video I've seen of the guy and...
Well, he has a history of drug abuse.
Yes, as a teen.
I mean, even at 19, he went into rehab.
And usually when somebody's that young and those circumstances and he's been out that night, you never know.
He had just left in April for rehab again, so who knows what happened.
We'll have to wait and see. Asiana announced Monday that it will sue a San Francisco TV station that it said damaged the airline's reputation. We talk about lazy local news. This is the classic example about this. If you have had your head in the sand, you might not be aware of the fact that they had the racist names
of
the pilots.
I can play it now if you want.
Play the clip for me.
Okay, this is it's KTVU, I think.
KTVU in San Francisco.
Fox San Francisco, yeah.
We have new information now also on the plane crash. KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Ho Li Fook, and Bang Ding Ao. The NTSB has confirmed these are the names of the pilots on board Flight 214 when it crashed. We are working to determine exactly what roles each of them played during the landing.
You know,
if you're watching that broadcast, though,
you scream.
And you're still,
This speaks to local news. Sometimes they just.
Did you hear the confirmation policy they described?
I'm not sure.
They called the NTSB for confirmation.
And they got a summer intern.
An intern.
He said,
"Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, those are the right names. Yeah. This is the right name. It's okay." Yeah,
they called Josh Murphy. Did you read Patton's tweet about it?
No.
He said that they're very upset, and this came from the spokesman from Asiana Airlines, Miso Sali.
That's just, you know. It is what it is. And I guess people are getting sued. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Well, we've got a couple of great apologies in the vault you'll enjoy from Ron Burgundy.
Okay. Apple Incorporated is investigating an accident. You might not have heard about this, where a Chinese woman was killed by an electric shock when answering a call on her iPhone 5 while it was charging. Last Thursday, Mai Eilun, a 23-year-old woman from China's western Xinjiang region and a flight attendant with China Southern Airlines, was electrocuted when she took a call on the charging mobile telephone. We are deeply saddened to learn of this tragic incident and offer our condolences to the Ma family. We will fully investigate and cooperate with authorities in this matter, Apple said in an email. Apple declined to comment on details such as whether this was an isolated case.
Jeez.
I mean, there it is. Figure it out. See what you want to do. It's kind of strange.
The only reason I don't answer when I'm charging is because I have to get so close to the table. But now that it's going to threaten my life, perhaps I will rethink it even further.
Or it's downstairs in a studio.
As long as there have been... As long as there have been cell phones, you know, whether it's the brain tumor, whether it's exploding and causing fires, you hear about this periodically.
Yeah.
I think any electronic device that is attached to a house or a plane or a boat, if it's, say, hit by lightning, a charge can probably go through that conduit.
Yeah. Pony, what's the voltage that's carried on a USB when you're charging from your computer?
It's only 5 volts.
It's super low.
5 volts. So that wouldn't do it.
It's the wiring in that house.
Chinese wiring.
No.
Come on.
It's the Chinese,
Mike. Stop that. You are horrible.
It might have been a bad outlet.
Stop it. That's not right. Anyway.
Go to the outlet mall.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is embarrassing for all men in America.
Well, that's good news.
On Friday, and it speaks to our good friends out in Iowa. Iowa Supreme Court ruled on a case where a 53-year-old dentist in Fort Dodge...
You're kidding. That's where Carrie's dad lives.
...named James Knight. Does anybody have the Knight, Dr. Knight, work on them in Fort
Dodge?
I will
have to check because he lives in a city that's only like 10 miles away from there.
Well, you know what he did?
No.
This hump?
What?
He fired his attractive female assistant, 33-year-old Melissa Nelson. James says he fired Melissa because he was worried he might try to cheat on his wife with her.
Oh, another guy? Jesus.
I mean, what a dick.
And why would you even tell her this is why I'm firing you?
I know.
He said he had a, quote, irresistible attraction to her.
Is it both ways?
I mean, it's so ridiculous. So she sued him for sex discrimination.
Well, she should.
But the Iowa Supreme Court ruled that it wasn't.
That
it was legal.
Chief Justice Steve Bridges said, it's okay. Yeah, let it go.
They said
nobody's paying.
The firing wasn't sex discrimination since this decision was based on feelings, not gender.
What?
It does not make any sense. It does not make any sense.
That is weird, man.
Every member of the Iowa Supreme Court is male. Melissa's attorney said the court's decision was a horrible blow to gender equality, which I totally agree with.
Yeah.
Quote, now men can protect themselves from sexual harassment claims simply by firing women they've been harassing.
What did she cry about?
And I was going to say.
Just go to the bar and get your free drinks.
Oscar Santana, ladies.
A horrible blow could have saved her job.
That's... God, that's
just a thought.
You're both going to hell.
I'll see you there.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, nobody's paying.
Yeah.
Well,
got a fire time Wang.
Have you ever caught a foul ball? Either one of you ever catch foul ball in a ball game?
It's one of my biggest fears is to get beamed in the face by a foul ball.
Even though you keep on bringing your mitt to the stadium, which looks ridiculous for someone your age.
Both my mitts.
Prepare to hate this guy.
Why?
Greg Neal is a season ticket holder with the Cleveland Indians. I'm so glad it's Cleveland. And during yesterday afternoon's game between the Indians and Kansas City Royals, he caught, are you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen, not one, not two, not three, four foul balls.
Jeez. God, was it an abandoned stadium?
Four foul balls.
Jesus.
Running through sections, yeah. Diving.
Hello.
He caught them all. By the fourth one, he was so over it that he just tossed the ball to some fans in another section. Incidentally, when I got one at an Orioles game, handed it to the kid in back of me. It was the only one
That's
caught.
Right. And the kid was named R.J. Diaz.
Thanks,
Mike.
According to the people
I wanted another one, but thanks.
At the ESPN show, Numbers Never Lie, the odds of one fan catching four foul balls during one Major League Baseball game are about 1 in 1 trillion.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And now a little something cool for all of you. Last week, 30-year-old Geneva Little of Orlando, Florida, was supposed to be babysitting a 4-year-old boy and a 5-year-old boy while their father was in jail. And when she went to visit him in jail, she brought the kids with her.
Of course.
But she left the two boys locked in the car in 89-degree weather.
Oh, no.
In the jail parking lot.
Oh, no.
It took almost half an hour, but a jail employee eventually did see the kids in the car and called 911. The boys were hungry and thirsty.
Why would you call 911 before you broke a window? For God's sake.
Maybe they were doing it all simultaneously.
Get a break. Get a brick.
Outside of being hungry and thirsty, the boys were okay. Geneva is facing child neglect charges. There's no word on why the boy's father was in jail, and we'll see if Geneva goes there as well. That will all depend on whether or not there's a Geneva conviction.
Ah!
I'm sorry.
That's
fine.
It's
Monday. I apologize for the bad Monday joke. You know, I was going to say, you know, she's in town going to the Geneva convention, but I'm just sorry.
I loved it.
We'll take a break. Come back with the audio vault right after this, everybody.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment of our program is brought to you by Encore Insurance Services, LLC, the people who bring you this show every weeknight on 102.9 WTNT. For a free life insurance quote, visit smartterm.com or call 866-347-5748. They'll do all the work for you. Encore will compare rates to help you save. License and disclaimer info at smartterm.com. Be sure and thank them for sponsoring TMOS Encore Insurance Services at smartterm.com. Let's open it up for Monday, July 15, 2013. Rob Spiewak.
Thank you, Mike. Now, tomorrow I will tell you about my adventures with the great Tony Perkins at the Paul McCartney concert.
You guys, those pictures were great. You look like you were having a good time.
It was the time of my life. Everybody in the world has the set list, including myself. But what no one has done is prepared you the songs that Paul played. So I put together a montage. If you were not at the concert, indulge me this tape. This is the set list of everything he played. And I think, I know.
Go for your swim.
Last time, Mike. Mm-hmm. I do think that after you hear this, you'll wish you were there. So if you missed the concert, Mike, and you were not there, these are the songs you missed Friday night at Nationals Park.
Don't you listen to what the man said? Hey, you rolling. Paperback writer. Oh,
Tony must have been floating
out of his mind. Valentine.
We gotta work it out. It's just another day, and I love her.
favorite.
If you were here today, your mother should know. Rigby, for the benefit of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on trampoline.
Something in the way she knows.
Wow.
Second encore.
Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Thank you for your indulgence. It was 38 songs, 2 hours, 43 minutes.
All right. You know, that's not a hit list. That's a smash hit list. Were you blown away by the quality of the songs? I mean, he really did.
Fourth time I've seen him, best set list ever.
That's
it was
incredible.
Just amazing. And
I loved every one of those songs.
Every time you thought there was something that he wasn't going to do, it happened. It happened.
Worth the $1 million per ticket that they were charging.
$1.2 million per ticket.
Pretty amazing stuff. And Tony, I mean, were there more Beatles songs in the list than normal?
A pretty even mix, okay. I think. Typical, but man, it was a great show. Just fantastic.
Cool. Very cool.
We've talked about those names in San Francisco. I want to play the apology from the anchor, Frank Somerville. On KTVU in San Francisco.
This is just so local news.
He's
they don't
very,
sweat
very
the details.
Sorry.
Tonight we want to take a moment and say that we are sorry. Earlier today, during our noon newscast, we misidentified the pilots in the Asiana Airlines crash. We made several mistakes when we received this information.
I'm Ron
First
Burgundy.
Of all, we never read the names out loud, phonetically sounding them out. Then during our phone call to the NTSB, where the person confirmed the spellings of the names, we never asked that person to give us their position within the agency.
Because it was intern Josh Murphy.
It was a summer intern.
That's right. And Mike,
Jesus,
he found them. You beat me to it, Mike.
You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
That's exactly what I was thinking about it the whole time.
Now, Mike, the name, it's a great name. Dr. Stuart Finkelstein. Or is it Finkelstein? He was recently at the deposition for whether Michael Jackson was wrongfully deathed.
Right.
That's not the problem.
His wrongful death.
Wrongful
suit.
Death suit.
Wrongfully deathed.
He was wrongfully deathed,
right.
Mike. Mm-hmm. They brought up some interesting facts that know about that. Here's Dr. Stu Finkelstein.
I attempted to give him a shot of Demerol, but his buttocks was so scarred up and abscessed that the needle almost bent.
And was Mr. Jackson conscious during this time?
Yes. We were watching Three Stooges and having squirt gun fights.
He had so much scar tissue on his ass from needles that it bent the syringe.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bad. Yeah.
It's amazing.
This
scary.
I play this mostly because it's cute and because no one was hurt. A little girl saved her mom's life. She called 911 when mom was choking. She was old enough to understand that it was 911, but she assumed that she was calling her daddy for help.
Oh.
But she did save her mom's life. Nobody's hurt, but this is just cute.
Daddy?
Hello?
Daddy, mommy's choking.
She's choking?
Yeah, she can't talk right now.
Okay, she can't talk?
No.
Okay, can you open the front door and I'll get help over to you?
Okay.
All right, open the front door. I'll be right there.
Love you. Bye.
I love the fact that she ends it with "I love you."
She called Daddy, right?
She called 911.
911. But she assumed Daddy.
She thought it was Daddy.
That's who was going to help her.
And she thought it was Daddy. Yeah.
She thought it was Daddy.
Oh, that's cute.
But you know what? Mom is all right. Little girl's a hero, and that is your magic audio vault.
Very good. I like that. That's it. We got to get out of here. Hey, tomorrow we didn't get to anything today.
No.
Tomorrow I will talk about my late night drunken conversation with Marcus Serta.
Hey, have you ever gotten a bottle of wine that you're supposed to give to Oscar, but you keep it?
I'll have an update yesterday about the baby. Seems to want to stay in the belly.
Yeah.
And more fun and more thrills. All that coming up tomorrow. Our show today was brought to you by our good friends at Signs by Tomorrow. Give Kevin a call. His number is 703-530-0070 or visit signsbytomorrow.com in Manassas. Experienced people, state-of-the-art technology, cost-effective. Signs by Tomorrow of Manassas, your visual message specialist. Have a great one. We'll be back with another whole show tomorrow for ye. So long, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Personal Capital right now. Go to MichaelMaraShow.com and click the Personal Capital banner or go to PersonalCapital.com/TMOS. Again, click the Personal Capital banner on MichaelMaraShow.com or go to PersonalCapital.com/TMOS.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.